Hello and welcome to a special edition of Open House here at Community Media. My name is Raymond Galker and we have Chef George Keeney.
How you doing,
with
Raymond?
Us here. I'm doing more than great, George. I'm excited to be here at the Mansion House.
1757.
And we're in the chef's kitchen. He's allowing us to make some burgers here. So what did we do to get started here?
All we're going
to
do is Raymond brought some meat, brought some lamb, and we're just portioning it out, make patties out of them, get them on the grill, season them up, and Randy and I were going to shoot the breeze while we're doing that.
Okay, so you weighed these out.
Yeah. I want to be fair.
Okay. You know,
I don't want anybody to get extra or not get enough.
So you offer classes in cooking here.
Yeah,
also.
We do cooking classes. Right now we're doing what we call March Madness. Now all the classes are sold out. Cindy and I talked about it this morning. Cindy, my wife and partner. And we're going to probably open up some more classes. It's just a matter of looking at dates and see when, you know, would work out best. But usually it's going to be Monday nights. We do it here in the kitchen. Classes go up to like 12 people. And we do all kinds of different cuisines. Everybody's doing different things. And I think the people in the class are all surprised at the end of the night how good everything tastes. Like, in my opinion, you know, if you have somebody who shows you what to do and how to do it the proper way, there's nothing difficult in cooking outside of ice carving or maybe doing a hollandaise sauce. But
and we're going to start off by saying, did I pat this right?
Yes, you did. Look at that.
Is there a key to how you pat your...
Make it how you want it. So here you go. We're going to go ahead and put these on the grill. Spray this first. Excuse me. I have to get situated. So I'm going to probably bury me. I'll be here.
Okay.
So wherever would be conducive for you. We're just trying to reduce the likelihood of them sticking. Okay. Getting them on the grill.
That's a nice grill too.
And that's the neat thing about here at Mansion House. You know, a lot of people know us for we do like nice meals and things are a little bit creative and they're different from all the standard things you see in most restaurants, but things that you're familiar enough with, whether it's we do shrimp etouffee or we do a crab imperial egg roll. I mean, you figure everybody likes egg rolls. Everybody likes crab imperial. Put them together, and we present it doing it a variety of different ways. And I think the fact that we have like over 30 partners that are farm to table, and we really are big into Adams County, even though we have some folks outside Adams County. We have microgreens we get down in Hampstead from Five Cedars, and we have Caputo's Brothers. We get curds from them. We pull our own mozzarella here, but we want it all to be small businesses. And so I try to get across to people, it's like, when you eat at Mansion House, you're supporting, thank you for supporting us, the Keeney family, or where you stay at Mansion House. But the other thing is you're supporting a ton of businesses, local businesses, and helping them thrive. And with Cindy and our concept, we've got Mansion House, besides being the most historic property in the Gettysburg area and Adams County for sure, and the oldest inn in Adams County, we wanted people to appreciate what we like and why we live in Adams County. So whether it's local artists with their artwork on the wall or all of our partners, I mean, this is crazy. You can walk out our back door and one of the farms back here is where we get our beef from. They have five different farms around Fairfield. They keep their cattle. You can walk out back and look at a steer that potentially he might be eating, in a couple of months. It's just, how much more small town can it get?
And this is the oldest inn?
Yeah, oldest inn in Adamsburg. Adams County, yes.
So even East Berlin? This is older than anything. It might be in East Berlin.
Yes. Yep. And this is all per the National Historical Registry.
Okay.
It's not folklore. There's no Paul Bunyan stuff here. And uh-huh. When I talk to people about the inn and the fact that it was built by Patrick Henry's uncle and aunt.
Uh-huh.
They bought the property from Charles Carroll, who was also a signer of the Declaration of Independence. It's crazy
mm-hmm.
to think the fact that the original parts of the house were built 20 years before we were a country.
And your dining rooms are awesome. I mean, you go and you go to one of your dining rooms is a parlor.
Yes.
And that allows someone to bring in four or more people.
Oh, yeah. We can do a lot of different setups for folks.
What we're doing now,
just our special little seasoning, that's all. You want to season them before you flip them. And if this helps anybody at home, if you're a home cook, my suggestion is, you wait till you start getting a little bit of blood through the other side before you want to move your burgers.
Special seasoning, probably salt, pepper.
Salt and pepper. There's a variety of things there. Coriander, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, we do a lot of things like that. Because that's another thing is, like, we don't want somebody to say, well, oh, you know, I could get it there, I can get it anywhere. Nah, that's not the way it works.
No.
You know, so like, for instance, and this is crazy, I know as a chef, I shouldn't be excited about this. Our French fries are great. And we have all these kids all the time. We're like, well, you know, so-and-so's got the best fries. I said, that's great. That's great. Try ours.
Okay.
Like, you know, kids that work with us, dishwashers, or, you know, and help out cooks and whatnot. And, like, every single one of them's like, wow, these are better than such and such.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, like, Dan, who's my son, who's our chef de cuisine, he does he has this dry rub. And it's so good. So when the fries come out of the fryer, we're tossing in a dry rub. And I think a leather factor is, you know, we don't have we have a heat lamp there to put plates under initially, but we're not holding French fries underneath of a heat lamp. When they're ready to go, they're ready to go. You know?
So your French fries, you cut the potatoes and make them?
No. The potato we actually buy the fry.
Okay.
It's like a steak fry.
Okay.
But then the key is though, like one is like, you know, be hot, make them hot, get them out quick. But then the dry rub, we toss them in.
Okay.
Because it has like a little zip to it, a little spice, but it has some sweet.
Okay.
And what's real fun, that, you know, from us, from a cooking standpoint, is like when somebody's trying different dishes, something as simple as a French fry all the way up to like maybe our shrimp etouffee, you want to have like, I like having a balance there where it's difficult, where you taste things, but you can't quite put your finger on it. You know, it kind of almost reminds me of a beer, for instance, a Cold Snap. It's done by Sam Adams. What I like about Cold Snap is I know every ingredient's in there, but when I drink a Cold Snap, it's hard to pinpoint one. Like they don't. None of them are over the top.
Uh-huh.
They're all like in a nice balance. So that's what. But my concept is, you know, all the years I've cooked and been fortunate, you know, all the wonderful chefs I've had, you know, had influence on me, is the fact that it's like make your food interesting. You know, it's sustenance. You have to eat. We all have to eat. But why not make it fun? Why not make it enjoyable? And at all levels, whether somebody's coming in here for a crab cake sandwich, a burger, oyster sandwich, or you're coming in here for, you know, one of our nice ribeyes, or, you know, whatever the item might be on the menu, you're, you know, trying something that's unique.
And you're not just taking it out of the freezer and slapping it
right.
That's down.
That's a big thing. And, you know, to those places have to do that. I understand, you know, inexperience with cooks or convenience, or it's cheaper.
And that's what it is. Yeah. That's how they're set up. But this is not the setup here, George.
Right.
You know, George is an award-winning chef.
Yep.
Okay, can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, back in this is almost old as the inn.
Okay.
I was working in the Baltimore area, I was the American Culinary Federation Chef of the Year, and that was like 1991. And it's a nice thing, but to me, resumes are great for getting a job and what you did in the past. They're good stories. You can sit around and have a beer and you can tell about the good old days and you walk 20 miles both ways in the snow and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I besides that, that's a nice thing. But, you know, eventually you got to move on.
Right, you move on. And the way he's moved on is that you come in, you order something, you take and eat it, you take a bite of it, you see what your taste buds do, and you can decide if it gets the award or not.
Yeah.
Right, George?
There you go. Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And it's a nice thing, too, is, you know, we're very fortunate. We have a wonderful, wonderful staff. We, you know, I get a lot of folks have had challenges with the hiring, with the, you know, with everything that occurred in 2020, but it's just nice. We attract good people. I've never put a one ad out. We've never put one ads out, but you have people who work with you, and next thing you know, there's somebody, and you're hiring people from other places. Like, I don't encourage anybody to do that, but if you're somewhere and you're dissatisfied and you come on board with us, great. I'm not recruiting you. You
right.
know? But we're really fortunate because I can very comfortably say this, everybody who works with us, they're all genuinely nice people. You know, we have 40 people on staff. Every single one of them is a nice person. Every single one of them I can, you know, put your hand in my wallet and not worry about it. They're good-hearted people. They're nice people. They're hardworking. And we have a little bit more of a mature staff out front, you know. A lot of our, of our 40 employees, probably 32 are female, and that's just the way it happened. I'm not looking to hire females. We don't have quotas to fill or anything like that. I just want to hire the best people, you know. And it's same, you know, same here in the kitchen. You know, with the gentleman who worked for us back here, but then also, you know, we're fortunate, you know, a couple of the young ladies that work with us also just do a fantastic job, and, you know, they might be, like, sometimes you have young people who work with you, and I'm tired of hearing about kids today. I was kids today. You were kids today.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good kids out there.
Oh, yeah.
And we're fortunate to have, you know, those coming along working with us, as well as the more seasoned, you know, veterans that are, you know, on the staff.
You want to check her out now here to see?
We're almost there. We're just now, waiting. We want to get a little blood through here. But
so that's what you're doing. You're pushing it down.
I'm just kind of making them a little bit level so they cook evenly for us.
Okay. All right.
So,
because I know some people have different philosophies. I have a real good friend of mine by the name of Tom Pullman. And he thinks he makes the best burgers.
That's good.
And his thing is that you could only press it down one time.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
But, you know, can you imagine being able to cook next to George here, work in his kitchen, and you offer?
There's not a lot of room next to me, though.
But but you do offer classes, as I said before. So you know, last night you had a class.
Yeah, we had a class last night.
It was
we went with German Austrian, and it was nice. And we did things like things you don't traditionally see, and that's what we also like in hand with that. We did sauerbraten, we did Wiener Schnitzel, we did braised red cabbage, we did spatzel, we did a Black Forest, trifle, on and on. And it's great because the people taking the class, they have fun. And I think they're surprised at the end that what they made turned out, because when we're done, we all put out a little buffet on the bar, we go through, we eat what we have a beverage, and everybody just enjoys and laughs, and it's nice to see like the surprise.
Oh, it's like you guys bond. It's like a community.
It's good for that too. Yeah,
there's nothing like eating together.
Yes.
And what an opportunity to be able to learn from you, and then make it such. I definitely have to have that. Well, I'm having that experience right now.
But that's the thing is, like, to me, there's nothing hard in cooking if you take it individually. When it becomes difficult is when you're on the line and you got a table of eight comes in, a table of six, and they all come in different times, they're all ordering different things. That's when it takes a little bit more focus and a little more of a challenge, a little more skill. But as far as if you take any single item and have somebody who knows what they're doing and teaches you how to make it properly, there's nothing hard in cooking. I'm sorry if that's demystifying it for people, and there's the chefs out there going, oh, you're kidding, I'm a professional. Yeah, I get it, you're a professional chef, that's great. But there's really nothing difficult about cooking if you break it down to the simplest forms. And somebody, and that's where I think I was fortunate. There's 54 master chefs in the United States, and I've been fortunate enough to learn from about 24 of them.
Yes.
Some are still with us, some aren't. But it's just amazing. And I've had a lot of chefs who've taught me and helped me. So through the years, there's a lot of people out there. There's a good number of chefs out there that I've had the opportunity to, I say, not screw up, that have come to work with me. Maybe they started out, they were a 16-year-old dishwasher, 15 years old, now they're in their 40s, they're running kitchens, and different friends all throughout the country that do that. So it's a lot of fun. And another thing we do is we start doing our wine dinners. That's where it's about 5-6 courses. We go with some type of a theme, but we invite a chef to come in. And then we have wine to pair with it. Our last one, we did it with Lee Corbett. If you know Lee's mom, she used to run the United Way. Lee started working with me as a 17, 18-year-old at the Cashtown Inn as a dishwasher, became a prep cook, worked his way up. He was killing it in Pittsburgh, just doing fantastic things there. He was our guest chef in November. And now Russ Brandon is actually a Fairfield boy. He worked with me up at the Cashtown Inn. Russ, fantastic. And it's just nice to see, because he was a pretty strong chef in his own right when he was in his early 20s. And he's just done nothing but get better through the years. And he's a great guy. And we're having him come back April 5th. We have our second wine dinner. So they sell out. It's a nice event, and it's a great way to try a lot of different food. You're going to try 5-6 different wines.
And these are wine dinners. They're special events.
Yes.
And you do this every month?
No, we do them twice a year.
So
we're going to do a fall one, probably November, then we do a spring one, April-ish.
Okay.
And we just started doing stuff. I used to do them back in Cashtown when I was at Carroll Valley and at the Links and so forth. But then we decided, once we got through the pandemic and people, aren't doing the freaky deaky about, being out in public and so on and so forth, which I can understand, someone has, concerns there. But it's to the point now where we can, you're opening it up and you have a little more flexibility and people are, we've kind of got a grip and understanding of what was going on there.
So, you know what time it is? It's time for us to take a look at these burgers.
All right. And we're going to go ahead and be flipping them here soon.
So is there anything that you see that makes you want to flip it, or?
I'm just doing a turn. So we're going to turn them. I want a little bit of blood running through before I go ahead and do a flip.
Okay.
So we're just doing a turn.
Okay. And lamb burgers?
Lamb burgers,
You'll love these lamb burgers.
Now, where'd you get the meat? This is from Raymond.
Right from a farm.
Oh, okay.
Just imagine this, George. The Mansion House, 1757.
Yeah, what it is that's the date the original portion of the house was complete. It was done in five different sections. So the first section, which is 1757, that was, I believe, basically what they needed was shelter. Once they had shelter, it's two-story, four rooms. That's where we do our chef's table dinner.
Well, let's talk about that.
But okay.
This is a room.
Yeah, so the chef's table dinner, you're in a room, it's 266 years old, the flooring, the walls. Now, the walls have been repointed, stone walls. You have the lock and key that's 266 years old. It's just, it's a mind blower. And it's just really cool. And you think you could be in, you could be in that room and eating fast food, and it would probably still be cool as heck if you think what went on in that room. Because they said once this portion of the house was built, they had colonial meetings here. Now, the National Historic Registry, they just mentioned that, but they don't go into detail of who was involved. Obviously, they couldn't because they, at that time, that individual probably would no longer have been with them. So, but it's just neat because it's just a great environment. But what we do is people can plan ahead and do a 7-course meal. You know, we call it the chef's table, and you can do that anytime. And we plan the meal. We, find out the things you'd like to see, things you don't like to eat. You know, some people are funny about asparagus or duck or seafood or whatever it might be, or are there allergies? So we plan that. We can also plan it with a wine pairing where you can just do your, alcoholic beverages or no alcoholic beverages. But it's nice if we do it from 2 to 10 people. We do it in the oldest part of the inn, and it's just people are back there. But, the food, they're enjoying the heck out of it. But just sitting back there, I mean, we could be sitting there eating lamb burgers and thinking, like, how cool is the fact of where we are, and what took place here. It's just amazing. And like I say, that's the oldest part of the inn. But the rest was all completed, like I say, it was about the 1790s. They did it in 5 phases. It was originally a residence. That's where it got the name Mansion House. The locals called it Mansion House because it was the largest house in Fairfield. So Squire Miller and Isabella Henry Miller, Patrick Henry's uncle and aunt, they bought 247 acres from Charles Carroll, who got the land from Lord Baltimore. Because interesting enough, this one point, this was Maryland. So then when Charles Mason and Jeremiah Dixon, when they were doing the Mason-Dixon line surveying in this area, this was still a residence at the time. That was like the 1760s. But they went ahead and it was common back then because the inns were kind of iffy, So it wasn't like today. You don't have like the wonderful inns like we have in Gettysburg with the Inns of Gettysburg Association and all. You have a fantastic place to stay. Back then, there was some like, you would have been just as good throwing a blanket on top of straw, in some of the places. So a lot of times they stayed in like somebody who had a level of affluence. They stayed in their house. So that's what took place there. Now, a little bit of moisture here. We're going to flip these.
I like it.
I'm going to smush them down for your buddy so I can irritate him.
Okay. Okay, Tom.
There you go, Thomas, for you. There we go. Smush them 4 times.
So, you could just imagine this is a mansion house. You can come here for fine dining, award-winning chef.
Yeah, but you can also come here for casual food. A lot of folks are blown away when they come in and thinking, like, you can get, like, a burger with 2 sides, mansion house fries, and this is ridiculous. Cheaper than a fast food place, which I won't name, but it's really popular.
Okay.
But it's like crazy to think you're going to come here, you're eating farm-to-table product that's prepared by people who know what they're doing, as opposed to going to some place where you're going to have, and the upside on fast food places, I always tell people, is the reason they're successful is they're consistent. Now, it may be consistent mediocrity, but they're consistent. Mm-hmm. So people, whenever you go, you can go to the place, a chain, you can go there, and I'm not a big chain person, but their advantage to that, if you go to one in Gettysburg, you go to one in Columbus, Ohio, it's going to be pretty similar.
Pretty similar.
So, but that's the thing you have there. But it's just like, to be able to come here, get your food cheaper than you can at like a chain restaurant where everything was frozen and processed and God knows whatever's in it.
By an award-winning chef.
Yeah, there you go. But it's just interesting to think that could take place. And like, to get back what I was saying, though, with Charles Mason and Jeremiah Dixon, so they're doing the Mason-Dixon line, they stayed here at Mansion House. Once they completed the Mason-Dixon line, that's when Mansion House became part of Pennsylvania. Because all that time before, it was part of Maryland.
Was that because they stayed here and they said, this place here should be...
I don't know. I'm not sure the reason why, because there's really, if you think about it, there's nothing around here that would be of significance as far as like precious metals in the ground or anything like that, gold, etc. So I'm not sure if it had something to do with the water, because there were a lot of furnaces around at that time. So was it a control of the water? But it didn't make sense why this little strip of land here, it's great for agriculture.
And the strip of land around here is awesome. So, you're looking at having a ski resort close by.
2 miles away, yep, Vail.
You're looking at having Gettysburg just down the road.
Yep, 7 miles to Gettysburg.
I mean, it doesn't take long to get from Gettysburg to here. In fact,
the thing is, it's such a relaxing drive. Like, what I tell people is, like, when you're driving from Gettysburg, you're coming out here. And the nice thing is, love Gettysburg. Obviously, Sydney and I, when we had our first child, we chose to move back to the area because we're both, originally from Adams County. So, but with Sydney and I, both, coming from Adams County, and it's the fact that it's just so nice, the things that, we experience here and what we do here. And, you can come and you can enjoy a nice local meal. And coming out from, Gettysburg to drive here, I call it a country drive. You got 7 miles, and it's almost like, and this sounds hokey or corny, but it's really like you're driving into like this Norman Rockwell painting. Mm-hmm. You got the Blue Ridge Mountains off to the right. You're going through beautiful farmland, and you know, depending on the time of year, you know, you got the fall foliage, or you know, we're right here now. We're in spring, and everything's just starting to grow up. And just to see the beauty as you're coming out here, you're passing by some of the people we do business with. You know,
beautiful country.
So it's just farm. It's just lovely.
Yes. And, you know, it's known that parents who come here to visit their children who are going to Gettysburg College,
yep, a lot of times... And Mount St. Mary's.
And Mount St. Mary's.
You get a lot of Mount St. Mary's folks.
Instead of staying in Gettysburg and that, some right. of them prefer to stay out here around Fairfield because of the openness and
I think
and
a lot of it has to do with, like, and like I say, we love Gettysburg. We moved here on purpose. We support Gettysburg, local artists, local, you know, farms, et cetera, et cetera. And we all love it, but it's like... Mansion House is like all the things you like about Gettysburg, but you get rid of some of the other things, like trying to find parking. You know, we have like, you know, free off-street parking, trying to find parking, paying for parking. You know, you're in lines, you're in traffic. It's just kind of nice because it's great. Go in town, visit things, do all the touristy stuff. But when you just want to come chill out, whether you're you know, you're staying overnight with us in your room, or you're, you know, you're just coming out for dinner, it's just kind of like a respite. You know, I'm not saying it's, you know, you're not in New York City, but Gettysburg's busy, you know. If you're a local, you know what, you know, go back in the alleys and take all those. But you're sitting in traffic and it's your vacation and all. It's nice because I think we offer a lot of things, you know, that obviously part of Gettysburg, big part, and we offer a lot, but you're getting away from like some of the things that you don't necessarily enjoy as a tourist coming to town. So
and then sitting in your you have a general room.
Well, we have a, like I say, here it's nice because you have a good variety, because you could be, you know, we have the parlor.
You have your parlor.
We have the Eisenhower room. We have the main dining room.
The main dining room.
We have the tavern.
Mm-hmm.
We have the porch. And then we also have the chef's table room. So you have choice of like 6 different places to sit. And then what we're going to start doing, like on Thursday nights, we've been doing live music here now for about 3 years, every Thursday, you know, no cover. But we do the live music, and when weather permitting, we're out in the garden. And we're talking about this year is like another advantage, like for Sunday brunch, because, you know, instead of like going to brunch and feeding the meter and doing all that kind of thing and trying to find parking, so come here, relax, and then another step up is dining outside. Weather permitting, sit outside, enjoy yourself, so you're out in the garden, and it's almost like a room in itself, the way the hedge goes around it, and it's just really pretty, and it's just fantastic. You're out there, you're, you know, you're enjoying enjoying the pleasures of Adams County, Pennsylvania.
So. And every one of the rooms where you could eat, you have the ambience. You have the old fireplaces.
Yep.
You have the floors. You have the walls.
Oh,
you have stone. You have wood. And also in the tavern. But imagine this. You could spend the night and then take a cooking course, or take the cooking course.
We had a couple do that last night.
And then stay in the night.
They came just for the cooking course. They spent the night with us. They had a blast. They enjoyed the heck out of themselves and had a lot of fun. And it's nice too, because then in the morning we do breakfast. Unless I'm out of town, which isn't that often, I always do breakfast. I just believe that. Like, and that's something like with Cindy and I, you know, we're owner operators. You know, and if we're, you know, if somebody owns a business and you hire an innkeeper and you hire, you know, your chefs and things like that, that's great. That's good for you. But we just chose, because we want people to have what we refer to as a hospitality experience. You know, you're coming in here, and our staff does a wonderful job, but I don't think anybody can, you know, care for you the way Cindy and I, the way we feel, because the way it says, we're very proud of our staff and on the facility and this gorgeous property, and we want you to have a great experience while you're here, and we do everything in our power to do it, even to the point, now this is wacky, every guest who stays here has my cell phone. You have any concerns, you have anything comes up, and there's a lot of little things. Hey, can I get some ice? And somebody said, well, why do you do that? That's got to be tough. Oh, you know what? We want a hospitality experience. And I've never stayed in any property where I had the owners, unless it's a friend of mine who owned a place, but I've never had the owner's cell phone. And I just think, you know, like maybe you say it's invasive, they're crowding your personal space, all that. No. I just think it's important, and it's great that I think somebody can pick the phone up when they have a concern.
Well, I think it's also, here, it's about building a relationship. The burgers are doing all right.
Well, we're going to break up here. I'm going to get some buns.
Come over here and check those burgers out.
You guys good with cheese?
Yep. So the other thing, George, is a person could take stay here overnight, be working with you to design their favorite meal for in the
chef's table.
The chef's table.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, after they're done eating and all that, just spend the night.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's really nice, too. Like, because, you know, we're only 2 miles away from Liberty, but we're 1 mile away from Gettysburg National Golf Course. We're 2 miles away from Carroll Valley. You've got, you know, Michaud Brewing Company. You've got the Thirsty Farmer, Adams County Winery, hiking trails, biking trails, great things to do in town. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's just so nice that they have so many options, you know, to do as they choose. So I just want to make sure I don't burn these buns. They'll go quick. Now, if I burn them, you better edit it. And that's the thing that's nice here, too, is the fact, you know, our son, Dan, he's our chef de cuisine. He is so instrumental in the kitchen. Like, he had a lot to do with us deciding to purchase the inn because, you know, I'm a young old man, but I am an old man. So, but it's just nice that you know, I know some places their chef, he's the executive chef or whatever that might be, you know, but and I know in big properties that's needed. But it's just nice that the chefs are cooking your food, you know, and then cooks that are, you know, well-trained are taking care of your food. So that's a big thing for us.
Well, I'm excited, George. I just can't wait to bite into these burgers. Well,
we're gonna have fun.
Can I take that off of your?
Yep, if you wanna set them over by our plates.
Okay.
We'll let this melt a little bit, Ramey, and then away we go.
Okay, and you know, lamb is not meant to be done like extremely long time. It's meant to still have some of the flavor and the juices in it.
Yep.
Of course.
Can we go ahead and I'm gonna have to come this way and take them off the grill. So I'm gonna do this here. We'll grab our burgers and away we go.
So, you know, George, this is beginning to be my favorite episode we ever done on Open House, you know.
Are you a brown noser? I will say this. I've known of Ramey's, like, we both went to Delone. You're a little bit older than me, but not much. But as I can remember, a kid in middle school, we used to just love back. I mean, Delone football was like, it's good today, but it was a total level back then, different level. And it was just, I remember every Friday night, we lived in Westminster. My dad, we'd load up the station wagon, we'd all head up to McSherry's Town, and there was nothing more fun than watching John Gastly's football team. Well,
that's right.
You know,
that,
it was back when if you lost two games, it was like a bad season.
Well, that's right. we beat Cedar Cliff, was a big game in 72. And then the following year, we lost to, I believe it was Lancaster Catholic, and won all the rest of the games and ended up beating Cedar Cliff again.
Here's a funny thing. Like, Raymond mentions that now. So we were little kids then. I was middle school, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. And all my buddies from Delone who went to different, you know, grade schools, we all talk about that. And the thing was, Andy Angel scored on a reverse on the opening kickoff.
Yes.
You guys won 14-7.
Okay.
We remember that vividly, but we were all little kids watching that, and it stuck with us. Because at the time, most people don't know, Cedar Cliff had a 33-game winning streak in the South Central League.
Yes.
Remember the old South Central League?
Oh, yeah.
And that was just a heck of a league. It was just fun to watch. So a little nostalgia there. We'll probably edit that out because we don't want to embarrass Ramey.
But, you know, when you talk about football, what I remember is going to games and then getting the pizza, you know.
Delone
had the best pizza, soft pretzels. Yeah, it goes to the food for me.
Yeah.
George, I think we're going to take these burgers and we're going to eat them up. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Raymond.
And the community media is looking forward to having a great relationship with you and the Mansion House.
Great.
1757.
Yeah, Mansion House. Reason we have that name that way is, and everybody does, like, that's what I always try to tell people, it's like, doesn't mean our way's the right way or your way's the wrong way, this is our way. We decided to go with 1757 to imply the history. Because, you know, everybody, you got the historic this, the historic that, and we thought, like, you know, everybody, I get, we're all historic, that's great. But we decided to go with Mansion House 1757. Once you figured it out, it wasn't our address, then you knew, that you said, oh, 1757, so that, you know, we imply the history, as opposed to, you know, and whichever way works, we just thought that was a little more creative.
Thanks for watching us on this special edition of Open House. And until we have a chance to meet again, I'm going to be eating these burgers. You stay kind and healthy.
Thank you.